If you take notes, I've entitled the sermon, Spiritual Building Code. Spiritual Building Code. Seems that in the spiritual world, the Bible makes it clear, there's building codes there as well. We just don't have them when we build our houses here on earth. We also have them when we build our houses in heaven. Spiritual building code, Luke 6, 46 and 49. Thus saith the Lord, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Before we look into our text this morning, let's pray. Father, I pray that all from my lips would be of you. I pray, Lord, just to be the vessel that carries the message that's spoken through your Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would walk amongst us. You would open up our ears and our hearts. Pray, Lord, that you would speak to every heart here. And ask, Father, that through it all, you would be glorified. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our text is a parable that Jesus used to show the importance, not of just hearing his word, but of obeying his word. He makes his point by using the construction of a house, more specifically a spiritual house, an eternal house, and a refuge for our soul. It's a place where we can rest and a place that where we can be at peace. It's a place of comfort. It's a place where we can take shelter from the storms of life that ravage each and every one of us. And as it turns out, there's even in the spiritual realm, there's a building code for constructing a spiritual house. An order. For an eternal house to survive, the first thing that has to be done is it has to be constructed properly. It must be built with the right materials. And it must be able to withstand the extreme stresses of life. It must be built with the proper materials. And it must be strong enough to house our soul and keep it safe from this life. And as we shall see, God's spiritual building code must be adhered to the letter if our spiritual house is to withstand the time and the trouble that comes from this life. Let me begin by saying the first thing I point out to you is that this parable doesn't speak to those people who don't build houses because they don't hear God's word. Jesus came into the world to proclaim his Father's love. How do we know that's true? John 3:16, for God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a message of love, and that's what Jesus came into this world to do. But most of the world refuses to hear the word of God. They don't want to know anything about it. We had somebody here who lost their Bibles in McDonald's, left it on a table, went back a week or two later, and it was still there. Nobody wanted it. They don't want it because it's the truth. And most of the world would like to shut the truth out of their lives. You see, it's because they don't want to know about their sin. They don't want to think about death. They don't want to think about eternal life. They don't want to think about everlasting wrath. They don't want that to pass through their mind. They have no interest in the spiritual things of God. And I have a proof verse for that. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man is the man who refuses to listen to God. And I would also tell you that these people are spiritually dead. For I say God would tell you that in Ephesians 2:1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And because they're spiritually dead to God, they don't want to build a spiritual house for their soul. That means, spiritually speaking, they're homeless by day and they're shelterless by night. That means when the storms of life come roaring into their life, they have no refuge, nowhere to go. When sickness, grief, or tribulations overtake them, they have no relief. They have no spiritual relief whatsoever. They can't cry out to God and believe that he's listening. Oh, they do, though. There's an old axiom that says, there are no atheists in a mortar attack, because everybody knows there's a God, but most refuse to listen to him. They do cry out, but they can't ask for divine comfort because they know he's not listening. So they must bear their suffering and their pain all alone. What I just told you is the estate of most of the world. We go through our lives every day, and things happen. Bad things to good people. And if you don't have a spiritual house as a refuge, then you have to take it on the chin. You have to take it alone and bear it alone. You may have friends who will give you comfort, who will give you solace, will give you a few bucks to help you out. But that's the limit of it. There's no divine comfort. There's no hope, and there's no promise for all those who refuse to listen to the Word of God. And when death, the most terrible storm a human being will face, when death beats down upon them, they have no place to go. They have no place to hide. They'll call for the rocks to fall upon them, but they won't. They won't die. Because they refuse to build an eternal house at the day of judgment when the books are opened, they will have nothing, absolutely nothing, to give them shelter. Instead, they'll stand naked, guilty, and condemned. As ironic as it sounds, they'll stand before the one whom they refuse to listen to. But now they'll listen. Only then they'll listen to Christ as he sentences them. Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew says in Matthew 25:41. And I tell you, those chilling words belong to every being that wears the image of man and refuses to hear God's word, to each and every one. So as believers, we would do well to remember and pass on the warning of Hebrews 12:25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. That's a solemn warning. This is the fate of all those who refuse to listen to the words of Christ. And it should be your prayer, as it is my prayer, that God would be merciful and grant them the knowledge of the truth, that they might be set free from the chains of darkness. Let's turn our attention now to those who are hearers of the word. Our Lord's parable teaches us there are only two types of hearers of the word: those who build structures according to the spiritual building code, and those who don't. What's interesting about that is that everyone who takes the time to listen to God's word builds some sort of an eternal structure for their souls. And many go to great lengths building their structures. Some will publicly confess Christ as Savior. I've seen it myself. Church with 300 people in it. They get all excited about hearing the word of God, and they come up, they confess Him as Savior. They get baptized, and they go back to their old life. They'll cry out to Him, "Lord, Lord," because they're hearers of the word. They know the words, "Lord, Lord." They're always in church with His followers, His disciples, and they worship Christ in prayer. They worship Him in hymns and by giving offerings. But the problem is, they do all of that, but they don't obey their master. They hear the words, but they don't do what He tells them to do. They're hypocrites. How do we know that's true? That's why Jesus asked rhetorically, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" I told the Bible study class this morning, everything God has is wrapped up in this book in you. And He gave it to the world. And He gave it to them so that they might have life, even eternal life. And I know people, even in my own family, who deny that, who say, "Well, live, eat, and make merry, for tomorrow I die, and that's the end of the story." Wrong. And I don't believe in my heart for one second that one of my brothers believe that in their heart of hearts. And you know why? Because they're both afraid to die. They know death is punishment. Deep in their hearts, they know. Too many people in churches today claim Christ. They cry, "Lord, Lord," but they don't do what He says. They have this book that has all of life's problems solved right here. They don't use it because they can't. All that they want to do is run to themselves rather than to run to God. If you have a problem right now, you're sitting here and there's something in your life that's running, that's going terrible, you have a choice. If you know Christ, you have hope. You have hope and a promise in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose. And you can hold on to that. You can hold on to that right to the grave. And I dare say the very instant that your life force leaves this body, another one takes its place. And you either go to heaven or you go to hell. One or the other. And I told the Bible class this morning, and make no mistake about it, there's no one in Long Island speaking to dead spirits floating around. You're in one place or the other and you're aware of it. I told my brothers that. You see, you can hear God's word or you cannot hear God's word and just blow it off, or you can hear God's word and not obey Him. You can call yourself Christian or brother or sister, but if you're not living your life as a brother or sister or a disciple of Christ, you're no different than those who don't listen at all. It's doing you no good whatsoever. They're hypocrites. And because they don't obey the Lord's word, they don't adhere to the scripture's divine spiritual building code. They don't build their houses properly. Instead, they build their eternal houses with no plans whatsoever. They're like some of those crabs that I see on the animal planet. They take whatever's laying around and call it home. They throw it over their backs. They have no building plans whatsoever. That means that they don't build on a foundation. That means they build walls made of wood, hay, and stubble. They attach a roof that's made up of doctrines they don't care anything about. Then they lay down floors that are made of nothing more than dull religious habits. And because they disregard the spiritual building code, the one thing that's for sure is that one day their spiritual house is going to fall down around their ears. How sad it is for someone to live so close to the gates of heaven and to spend their life living amongst God's children only to be shut out of the kingdom because of their disobedience and their unbelief. How terrible it'll be to find out by experience that there's a back way to hell even from the gates of heaven. If you're a hearer of the word and you're building a spiritual house, you better look up the building codes, because if you don't, the house you're building will never survive. At the end of verse 49, Jesus gives a solemn warning to anyone who builds without a foundation. Look at the text. And the ruin of that house was great. He could have just said, oh, the house will fall down. But he said it was great. And he said it was great because he was talking about it being an eternal house. And if that house falls, then you don't have the keys to the kingdom. And let me be clear. The foundation that our text talks about, the only foundation that meets the divine spiritual building code, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gives us our proof verse in 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus. The only eternal cornerstone that meets the divine spiritual building code is Jesus Christ. So if you're building a shelter for your soul without Christ, then you're building in vain. You're wasting your time. It's going to do you no good. King Solomon gives us another proof verse in Psalm 127:1. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Every single saint here, yes, you're building the house, but God is strengthening you and giving you all the materials you need. So you may be doing the labor, but he's doing the strengthening and the providing. And let me add, if you're gathering wood, hay, or stubble to build your house, if I'm speaking to you, what you're really doing is gathering materials for your own funeral pyre. Revelation 21:8 promises us that there will come a day when the fire shall devour all lovers and makers of lies. Jesus said, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. I have to tell you, when you start your life out like some of the young people that are in this church now, you're going to start making a foundation for your soul somewhere. You're either going to do it on your own accord and not be a listener, or you may come to church and be a listener, but not an obeyer, not a doer of the word, just a hearer of the word. If that's the case, then you're making a tragic mistake. Whatever foundation you make that does not include Jesus Christ in it as the major part, the cornerstone, the foundation, if that's not what you're using, then it's for sure the ruin of your house will be great. God promises that. That's the bad news. In contrast to those who build refuge for their souls to suit themselves, look at verse 47 and 48. Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house. And what? It could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." First thing I'd have you notice, he says the man dug deep. He dug deep. And when you dig a deep foundation, you have to shovel out everything. Everything that keeps you from the bedrock. It has to go. So if you're building an eternal refuge for your soul, there's a lot of things that you have to dump. A lot of things that you have to get rid of. Starting with trusting in yourself. You're commanded to do that. Not to trust in yourself. Proverbs 3:5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." You see, you can't trust in yourself and trust in God at the same time. As long as you think you're in charge, then God's not. You have to dig out all that sin. You can't love sin and God. Good and evil can't coexist. Then there's worldliness, pride, lust, unbelief, unrighteous anger, and a host of other iniquities. All of these have to be removed as well to get down to the bedrock. Digging a foundation for the eternal refuge for your soul means you're going to have to dig it deep. Now you got the rest of your life. Every day, some part of you should be taken away and replaced with the part of God. Every day you decide how much of you you're going to give to God and how much you're going to keep for yourself. But you have to get rid of all the debris that keeps you from building on that rock. And once you do that, once you've removed all that debris, now you're ready to lay your foundation. In the next part of our text, Jesus said he laid the foundation on the rock. He means he bound the foundation to the rock. You see, you just can't lay a foundation on a rock and then build on top of that. You have to attach the foundation to the rock itself. It has to be, they have to grow together. And the binding he used to make the foundation a part of that rock is the eternal doctrines found in Scripture. That's the only thing that can bind a foundation to the rock. There's the doctrine of love. That's a cord that binds the foundation to the rock. Jeremiah 31:3. "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Romans 8:5-8. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." You see, the whole reason why Christ came was because he loved mankind. How do we know that's true? Because he sent a Savior for him, but he didn't do it for angels. You are the object of the sovereign God's love. And so you have to build your spiritual house anchored to that rock by the doctrine of love. You have to understand that. And the problem many people have today is that love for most people is conditional. I love you because you're cute. I love you because you have a new car. I love you for all these different reasons. Those are conditional loves, and they bind you to nothing except grief. Divine, unconditional love of God the Father to all of those called children, called saints, is what binds them to the rock. The foundation is bound to the rock by that love. And I tell you, 99.999% of the world has no idea what I'm saying right now. They don't know what condition, what unconditional love is. Loving without condition. Love is a cord that if you're going to build a spiritual house for your soul to last all eternity, love is a cord that you can use. And if you love Jesus Christ, the Bible says, if you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments. That's the cord, love. There's another cord. The doctrine of grace is another cord that binds us to that living rock. Oh, thank God for the word grace. Amen. Romans 5:21, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 1, 6, and 7, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Listen, if you're going to bind your house to something, it better be with grace. That's what's going to hold you. There's nobody listening to this message this morning that has not known people who have been swept out of this life because they had no hope, they had no grace, and they were bound to nothing but themselves. They were Velcroed to this world. And they left this world. They were swept away. And everyone here knows people like that. But I dare say, we also know saints who weren't Velcro to this world. Instead, by grace, they were anchored to the rock, the living rock, Jesus Christ. And those people could not be swept away, even when they left this realm. Proof verse, better yet, a proof chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about all those saints who gave everything, including their life, because they knew that they had already dead, because they had grace. I've only been saved a short period of time. I'm an elderly guy, as you all know. But I got to tell you, in the 17 years I've been saved, I look back now and I can't understand it. I was, before I had everything I needed, everything I wanted, I was doing great. My wife went out to look for God. I said, okay, fine, but don't bring them home. I don't need them. I was Velcro to the world. But the very moment grace came into my life, took out that old dead heart, put in a heart that's malleable for Christ. It moves. It beats for Christ. I can't understand how I lived in this world without it. Grace, the greatest word in all of man's vocabulary. Unmerited grace by God. And if you don't have grace, you look at what you have. What do you have? Nothing. Fear. Anger, no hope, unrighteous anger, I might add. You have nothing. How do I know that's true? I've officiated at memorial services where people, 30-year-old men, would throw a rope around a rafter and hang themselves because they had no hope. They had nothing. They're swept away. Don't be hearers of the word and not doers of the word, because God promises you, if that's the case and you're not anchored to a foundation, your foundation is an anchor to a rock, you will be swept away. That's a promise from Almighty God, Elohim. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We just got through praying for a long list of you. What happens? Does God answer them all? No. Not now. Maybe later, maybe never. But for all of you that are building your house with a foundation that's anchored to the rock in love and in grace, you have this. All things work together for your good, for them who love God and are called according to his purpose. So it doesn't matter, Di, if you lose your job. Know who's in charge. Know that all things will work out for your good. That's true of every saint. And I have to tell you something. Hold on to that promise in your heart. Just hold on to it. Don't let it go. And watch what it does to your life. Nothing will sweep you away. Certainly not a job. And time prohibits me from talking about the doctrinal cords that should bind every foundation to the rock is providence, sovereignty, omnipotence, mercy, salvation, holiness, righteousness. The list goes on and on and on. All of these are cords that the doer of the word can use to secure his foundation or her foundation to the rock. And these are the only spiritual cords that will bind a man's foundation. Nothing else will do it. Nothing. Now the foundation laid and secure. Now with that done, the hearer and the doer of the word, now you can build your eternal shelter for your soul. And the only building material you need, the only building material you need. You don't need rocks, you don't need concrete, you don't need wood, hay, or stubble. You need one thing, faith. Ephesians 2:8 tells us the type of faith you need is a gift from God, because a lot of people have faith. You know, you could say right now, I have faith when I turn the key in the car, it's going to go on. I have faith tomorrow, the sun's coming up. But spiritual faith is a gift from God. It only comes from God. My verse is Ephesians 2:8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. He makes it clear. It's nothing you do. I'm giving you that faith. It's grace. With faith in the heart, the doer of the word builds their refuge with this book. Your spiritual soul is housed by the material that's in this book, energized by your faith. By faith, he puts up the walls of faith by believing God is his helper. The Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Psalm 28:7. Let me ask you something. What do you build? What can you build that will last? What human building will last? What, the pyramids? They're going to go one day. They're not going to last forever, eternity. What God builds lasts. And the faith that he's given you is what you need to put up your walls of your refuge with. You need to put on an impenetrable roof. I sound like a dog. An impenetrable roof of faith. A roof of faith. And you do that by claiming the eternal words of Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation now to those which are in Christ and who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Does everybody here know that at one time you came into this world, you were all condemned? The Bible tells you you all came into this world with original sin. It was the nature to sin, and as soon as you were old enough to understand yourself, what did you do? Oh, you can't do that, huh? Well, I think I'm going to do it. You tell a child not to do something, what does it do? It does it. That's the carnal nature the Bible talks about. And as soon as you reach a certain age, as I said before, our new brother Sean reached the age where he's accountable for his sin. He knows about it. He knows about God. He knows about all the things that relate to the spiritual house. And so now he can claim that Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to Sean. There is therefore no condemnation to Jeff Rossi. There is therefore no condemnation to Tom Nelson. Can you put your name in there? Are you condemned? And if you are, you don't have to be. John 3:16, remember, God gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. That's how you get rid of the condemnation. And if you have no condemnation, it makes going through this world a lot easier knowing who your boss is, knowing who's guiding each and every moment of your life, knowing that someone has said, I know every hair on your head, knowing that we all have an expiration date and he's the one that punches it. Nobody else. That's how you go through life with no pressure. I don't care about a job. Because, Lord, you gave me the job, you'll take it away. Okay, provide for me, Father. I'm your kid. And he will. Bible says none of his children go about begging bread. You have to understand that building a roof that's impenetrable means that there's nothing in this world that's going to break through it and harm you or even sweep that roof away. Nothing. Because God put it there with faith. And whatever God does, no man can undo. And then he lays down a floor of faith by standing on the promise. And here's one. Hey, just take this one home. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. There are people who go around this world thinking that they're powerful. There are people who go around thinking that they're strong, that they're mean, that they have all control. You don't. Simple. A sovereign God has all, is the most omnipotent power in the universe. And if he loved Joe Pesci enough to send his son to die for him, who's going to hold anything against him? Who's going to do it? Nobody. So you see, beloved, if you have a foundation that's built on a living rock, Jesus Christ, and you build your life on top of that foundation, nothing in this universe can shake you. Nothing. Trials, tribulations, temptations, grief, suffering, no matter what happens in this world, the sovereign King is promised in our text, nothing will shake the house you've built on his foundation. Nothing. Including death. Even death has lost its sting, the Bible tells us. And there's no victory in the grave for a saint. He's not in the grave. He's in heaven. So what will you do with this? Are you a hearer of the word? Or are you a doer of the word? Or perhaps you don't hear the word at all, and you just happen to tune in at the right time. Whatever the case, you have to ask yourself. You have a responsibility now. If I'm a hearer of the word and I'm not a doer, you're wasting your time. Really, you are. You could get an extra hour's sleep on Sunday. It's doing you no good. And the reason it isn't is because your heart isn't there. Because you're disobedient to God and you haven't really come to know Christ as your Savior. Because if you did, the first thing you would realize as a new Christian is that everything is built on Christ. And if you don't have Christ, you don't have salvation, you don't have nothing except a death sentence. That's it. If you're sitting here and you don't know Christ, but you feel him stirring your heart, you want to know Christ, you want to build on a foundation that you can trust in no matter what happens in your life or in this world. There's only one way to do that. And that's to submit yourself to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and to call upon him to save your soul. There's no other way. If you're not willing to do that, at least think about it. And think about, and as you're thinking about it, pick up a Bible. Go to Revelation 14:11. and find out the consequences of not accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And for those of you who do know Jesus Christ as your Savior, those of you who are doers of the word, keep building. Keep those cords of love and of doctrines strengthened by your faith. Keep building every day a little higher, a little stronger with your faith. Don't let anybody steal your joy. Don't let anybody make you shipwreck. Because if they do, it isn't them that did it, it's you that allowed them to do it. Don't let anybody take anything from you that God has spent so much to give you. Our Lord Jesus died that you might have his joy and that your joy would be full. Go home today. Ask yourself, how's my building project going? How's my spiritual house? If you're satisfied with the answer, then rejoice. And go find a brother or sister that needs some help and help them strengthen their house as well. And if your heart is being stirred, call me or see me after the service, and I'll show you in God's word how he wants you to build a spiritual house for your soul that will last for all eternity. Let's pray.